ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। रामादिमूर्तिषु कला नियमेन तिष्ठन् नानावतारमकरोत् भुवनेषु, किन्तु कृष्णस्वयं समभवत् परमपुमान्यो गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि।
थैंक यू।
Sorry about
it was that. Like Brahmin initiation. You have to speak the Gayatri in my right ear as well. It says, please do not eat in the temple room. I will read from three verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 9, Chapter 10, Texts 2, 3, and 4. Text number 2. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaja Dasharatha. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Now this is a summary of the entire Ramayana. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, or by another monkey, Sugriva, king of the monkeys, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Shurpanakha, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord Ramachandra give us all protection. So the demigods, the higher administrative powers and personalities within this universe, although they're very powerful and they manage universal affairs, there are always obstacles that are far beyond their capacities to manage or to take care of. Because although they are controllers, a controller in Sanskrit is called Ishvara, although they are Ishvaras, there is one person who is Parama Ishvara, that is the controller of all the controllers. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So these universal controllers, they can manage things in this universe like the entire air supply to the universe, the entire light supply to the universe, etc. But oftentimes there are certain personalities who happen to be more powerful than them. And for these very powerful persons, the Lord has to appear personally to rectify the situation. And by that he establishes his supremacy. So the demigods went to Lord Brahma, who is the first born living being in this universe. The demigods went because they were all very troubled. They were troubled because the universe had lost its equilibrium, had lost its peace and tranquility. People were not working with each other. That's because there was one personality by the name Ravana. This personality had tormented the entire universe to such a degree that the demigods, they didn't know what to do. And to gather even more power, Ravana and his two brothers, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, they decided to perform a severe penance for 10,000 years. Ravana is the supreme personality of greed. And Lord Ramachandra is the supreme personality of love. So before Lord Ramachandra advented, when these three brothers were performing this very severe penance, Kumbhakarna was standing on one foot. I mean, we play hopping and all that for a few minutes, but standing on one foot for 10,000 years and not eating, not sleeping, and not eating anything. And for these demons, part of the vow was also to be nice to everyone else. That was even more difficult for them. Standing on one foot, not a problem. Be nice to others, oh no. But they did that for 10,000 years. Because they wanted Lord Brahma to appear in front of them, and they had some boons, they wanted something to ask. They wanted to ask him for more powers. These three brothers were sons of a Brahmana father and a Rakshasa, a demon mother. The father's name was Vishrava and the mother's name was Kekasi. So what happened is there was a demon I forget the demon's name. Sorry. What's his name? Tataka's father? Maricha, Subahu and Tataka's father? Anyway, okay. There was a father. and he had three children. Tataka, a demoness, and two other demons by the name Maricha and Subahu. Maricha, Subahu and Kekasi. And Kekasi married Vishrava because the father told her, if you marry a Brahmana, especially of the power of Vishrava, you will get very, very powerful sons who will conquer the world. So every parent wants a child that will be, you know, top, number one in class. So she wanted the ones who will be number one in the world, or the universe. So she approached Vishrava, who was deep in meditation. She stood in front of him, and he knew by his yogic power that she was there. So he said, "Yes, what would you like?" She said, "I have been ordered by my father to approach you for sons, for children, because you are a very powerful Brahmana, and from you, the children that I get will be very, very top quality." He said, "Since you're asking me, I should give shelter. I will. However, the timing of your request and the way you're requesting, they're not proper. So unfortunately, you will get very, very powerful sons, but they will not be the most well-behaved." So she begged him, "Please, please, please don't disappoint me like this." He said, "All right, you will get your third son will be a good boy. Although he'll be of demon birth, he'll be a good boy." So she had three sons. The first one was Ravana. When he was born, he was born with 10 heads and 20 arms. And as soon as he was born, his eyes were copper red, full of anger. And the father looked at him and named him Dasha Griva, ten-headed. But very soon, as he grew up, he started harassing everybody. So he was given the name Ravana. Ravana means he who makes others cry. Another son, though, I was going to joke something about temple precedence, but I'll... The other second son was Kumbhakarna. As soon as he was born, he became so big, so massive. It is described that it's like he almost covered the entire universe. Huge, gigantic body. And as soon as he opened his mouth, he ate away all the demigods who were so powerful in the universe. Lord Indra said, "My army, why, they're very powerful. Where are they?" "Well, they have been digested." Then a daughter was born. Her name was Surpanaka. And a son by the name Vibhishana. Vibhishana, because he was blessed by the father such, he turned out to be very gentle. And they were like, "What's wrong with you? Why are you gentle? In fact, you should not be gentle. People will take advantage of you. You should be a little, you know, tough." So these three brothers and sister, they grew up to being, these two brothers and sister, they grew up to be very, very, very difficult for the universe. Then they decided to perform this severe penance. So all the demigods were worried. They're already trouble. And if they become even more powerful, then the whole universe is not going to work. Please do something. And they are praying to you. Please go and somehow save us, protect us. So when Lord Brahma appeared in front of Ravana, Ravana said, "Lord Brahma, thank you so much for coming. Please give me the blessings that I may become immortal." There's a trend, huh? All demons ask for immortality. So Lord Brahma said, "Sorry, I cannot make you immortal. But ask for something else." He said, "All right, please give me the blessings that no demigod can kill me." He said, "Sure, tathastu, so be it. Please give me the benediction that no other being in the universe like the Siddhas, the Charanas, the Kinnaras, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the other Rakshasas, all these personalities in the universe, not one of them can kill me." So be it. Ravana said, "I'm not going to ask you to protect me from the human beings. Because who are they anyway? By the time they are 40, they have rheumatism and arthritis and they cannot barely see anything. These are not even persons that I care about. They're nothing. So why ask even that?" And then all other animals, he said, "No, not even worth asking. If I make sure that the demigods and Gandharvas and Yakshas, Rakshasas, if they can't touch me, what will human beings do?" So he never asked about the human beings. So Lord Brahma satisfied his desire. Then he was about to appear before Kumbhakarna. As Lord Brahma was getting ready, all the demigods assembled in front of Lord Brahma and said, "Please do not give him any benedictions. He's already the terminator. Don't give him anything. Please don't give him any blessings." Lord Brahma said, "I'm obliged. Because he has followed proper etiquette in performing this tapasya, I'm obliged to fulfill his desires. I cannot but fulfill his desires. But let me see what to do." So he called upon his consort, Saraswati Devi, and told her, "Please sit on his tongue and you control his power of speech." She said, "Yes, whatever you say." So Lord Brahma sprinkled some water and Kumbhakarna said, "Oh, thank you so much for coming in front of me. Please give me the benediction that I might sleep for the whole year and be awake for only one day." And before he could fully realize what he said, Lord Brahma said, "So be it." And Kumbhakarna said, "What have I said? What have I asked? What do you mean, sleep the whole year? I don't want to sleep the whole year." Lord Brahma said, "Already given benediction. You have to fall asleep. Only one day of the year you can cause some havoc. Otherwise, just fall asleep." He said, No. I've been standing on my one foot for 10,000 years. That's difficult. I haven't eaten anything. That's very difficult. I've been nice to people. That's impossible for me. And after all of that, all I'm getting is that I have to sleep for the whole year." He said, "That's what you asked. That's what you get." When Lord Brahma came to Vibhishana, he said, "Let me always serve the devotees of the Lord. I don't want anything else. Let me always stand by virtue. Let me stand by great saintly qualities. Let me get the benediction of all the great saints and sages so I might purify my life." And Lord Brahma very happily blessed him. Now Ravana, because he was blessed by Lord Brahma, he started his rampage. Like I said, he was the supreme personality of greed. Greed is a quality that is manifest as, or is fed by lust. Lust and greed are qualities such that it doesn't matter how much one will get, they can never be satisfied. And the more you give in, and the more you try to feed greed, the more it grows. In fact, it is such an important malady to treat ourselves from that Lord Krishna spends a whole section in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 37 to 43. Because Arjuna asks, "What is it? That although unwilling, I don't want to do something, I don't want to say something, I don't want to behave in a particular way, but what is it that impels me to act as if being pushed by an external force. And Krishna says, it is lust only, Arjuna. Kama esha. And Krishna describes that lust is like, not is like, is the all-devouring enemy. Mahashana. In Sanskrit, ashna means to eat. Mahashana means the great eater. Lust eats everything away. All that we have worked for, all of the austerities that we have performed, all of the difficulties we have taken up, all the different services we have rendered, the credits we have got from it, all of that is eaten away by lust. And he keeps eating at it and gnawing at it. And mahapapma, it is the great sinful tendency. It pushes a person to doing things that they would never imagine they would do. And Ravana's greed grew like anything. His brother, half-brother, was Kubera. Kubera was the treasurer of the universe. And he had a palace in the modern Sri Lanka. And that whole kingdom was made of gold. It was called Suvarna Lanka. Suvarna means gold. And Kubera used to live there. So Ravana forced himself into Kuvera's kingdom and banished. It was like a coup. He kicked Kubera out and occupied the palace. He kicked his own brother out. And as if to rub salt on the wounds, as they say, adding insult to injury, he took away Kuvera's special airplane called the Pushpaka Vimana. That plane was so powerful and so wonderful that it could go to any place in the universe simply by desire. One day, Ravana was on an excursion, field trip, in his Pushpaka Vimana, newly acquired Pushpaka Vimana. And as he was flying, in the forest, he saw a woman sitting in yogic posture, her back straight, head held high, and her on top of her head was a lock of matted hair. He said, "Oh, who is that? What is a woman doing all alone in the forest? Let me check out." So he landed and he looked at her. She was of exquisite beauty. And because she had been performing very deep penance, her beauty increased. Her effulgence increased. She was radiating a glow that he had never seen before. So he interrupted her meditation and said, "Oh, gentle lady, you look so beautiful, so attractive. Are you married to someone? Or are you single?" So she told him, "My name," because he came and she was being nice to him. She said, "My name is Vedavati. My father, when I was born, my father asked me, what is it that I want? And I said, I want a husband like Vishnu. So he told me, there isn't a husband like Vishnu. Only Vishnu can satisfy that desire. So I'm sitting in the forest, meditating deeply, so that my Lord Vishnu may be satisfied and he may appear before me and accept me." "Oh, Vishnu! Ah, what can Vishnu do? Look at me. I am Ravana. I am the most powerful personality in this universe. I have special blessings from Lord Brahma. Manifested his 20 arms, his 10 heads, and he said I can change to any form I like anytime. Accept me." She said, "No, please go away. Please don't disturb my meditation. So he did not like no for an answer. Because part of the greed, the lust burning in the heart, is that they cannot take no for an answer. And Krishna describes that lust, a desire that is not satisfied, turns into anger. So he became angry. Said, how can you say no to me? And he held her hand. So she tried to free herself, and her matted locks fell. So he held her hair and said, now you're going to come with me. Giving, because she had yogic power, she chanted the names of Vishnu and with her hand cut off her matted locks. And she gave him a warning, be careful. The way you're approaching me, I curse you. I curse you that I will come back in another life and I will be the cause for your destruction. And by her yogic power, she increased the fire element in her body and self-immolated herself. Right in front of him, he said, wow, what a person. And he became a little scared because he was cursed. But he didn't think too much of it. Then when he was flying by, he saw the kingdom of Ayodhya down below. And at that time, Ayodhya was the capital of the entire world. And so he said, anything nice, I would like. This is the nature of lust and greed. Anything that's nice, the first thought is, I would like it. I would like it to be mine. So he wanted to capture Ayodhya. So at that time, who was the king who was there, gave him a formidable challenge. And they fought. But he killed the king. And before dying, that king gave him a curse. He cursed him also again. That you as a Rakshasa have disturbed the peace of human society. I curse you that a human being born within my dynasty will kill you. So Ravana went away because the curse was very severe. So when the demigods and other personalities in the world were becoming very, very disturbed by Ravana's very atrocious behavior, they went to Lord Brahma and together they prayed to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu answered their prayers and told them that I will personally appear as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. And along with me, my expansions, my plenary expansions, will also appear as my brothers. So in the spiritual realm, as we heard past Sunday feast, there is the Chaturvyuha. The Chaturvyuha are the four personalities who are around the Goloka Vrindavan planet. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And these personalities descended together as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. Maharaj Dasarath, for many, many, many years, did not have any son. For a king, this is a cause of concern because they have to bequeath the kingdom to the next generation, to the next heir. And although Maharaj Dasarath was an extremely pious, devoted, kind, gentle, loving, compassionate king, he had no issue. He had no son that who could be the rightful heir to the kingdom. He had one daughter. Her name was Shanta. He gave his daughter to his best friend, Maharaj Romapada. And his friend took care of his daughter, Shanta, as if she were his own. daughter. Then Maharaj Dasharath was told that if the husband of Shanta, his name was Rishyashringa, he's a very, very powerful rishi, powerful personality. If he can come to your kingdom and perform a wonderful fire sacrifice, then in that fire sacrifice, you will get blessed to have sons. So Rishyashringa was invited and he performed a very special yajna, and from that yajna fire came a very good looking, very well formed features, effulgent personality. And that personality said that I have been sent by Lord Vishnu from Vaikuntha just for you, and I have the spot of nectar called payasam. Payasam is sweet rice. And he said, this sweet rice is very special. And he told Maharaj Dasarath, you have three wives, Kausalya, Sumitra, and Kaikeyi. You please distribute this sweet rice among your three wives. Make four parts of it and distribute to your three wives. So Maharaj Dasharath took half the sweet rice and gave it to Kausalya. From the other half, he took half and gave it to Kaikeyi. And the other half, he gave it to Kaikeyi. And the quarter that was left, he gave to Sumitra. But Sumitra and Kaikeyi also gave parts of their share to Sumitra. And very quickly, these three ladies, they experienced in their minds and hearts the presence of the personality of Godhead. Very soon, they became very effulgent because the personality of Godhead had now entered their wombs. And very soon, Lord Ramachandra was born of Kausalya. Bharata was born of Kaikeyi, and Lakshmana and Shatrughna were born of Sumitra. And these four boys were the joy of Maharaj Dasarath. And Maharaj Dasarath personally took care of the training of these boys. He taught them how to wield the sword. He taught them how to shoot arrows. He taught them how to manage a kingdom, how to engage in diplomacy, etc. And for Dasarath, it was the most joyous time of his life. And Lord Ramachandra was such that because Rama means the source of all pleasure or happiness, Maharaj Dasarath could not focus on anything else except Lord Ramachandra. He was so attracted to Lord Rama. He doted on him, adored him like anything. And as Lord Ramachandra and Dasarath and all of them were having a happy life, one day, sage Vishwamitra showed up. Now there's a transcendental reason why sage Vishwamitra showed up. Just as in Lord Krishna's pastimes, when Kamsa had a change of heart, after the first child was born, Vasudev brought the first child to Kamsa and said, here, as promised, here is my firstborn. I give him to you. Please do as you like. Kamsa was very surprised at Vasudev's integrity and said, okay, don't worry. It's the eighth son that I'm worried about. It's the first child, you can take him back. It's not going to be a problem for me. Suddenly Narada Muni showed up and he said, Kamsa, what are you doing? Although the sound vibration said eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev, how do you know Vishnu doesn't come in the first one? What if you are being tricked by Lord Vishnu? Kamsa said, "Ah, great sages like you give fantastic advice. Thank you. Right away, bring the child." And he killed the first child of Vasudev and Devaki, right in front of Vasudev. So one might wonder, what is Narada doing? So our acharyas describe that if Kamsa had a transformation of heart and just the first child was spared, then maybe Vasudev and Devaki might think, "Well, we can't manage a household with so many kids. One is good enough." Then how will the Lord advent? So he had to speed up the Lord's appearance. So like that, Vishwamitra showed up. And when Vishwamitra asked Maharaj Dasarath, "Is your kingdom nice? Are your senses controlled properly?" For a rishi to ask a king like that, "Are your senses controlled properly?" means, are you administering your kingdom properly? Because if the senses are not controlled, then we know, vacho vegam, manaso krodha vegam. We're going to have our Bhakti Shastri right now. Jiva udaropasta vegam, etan vegan, yo vishaheta dhira, sarvam apimam, prithvim sa sishyat. If a person can control these six urges, the urge to speak, the urges of anger in the mind, the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, then he can control the entire world. He can make the entire disciples all over the world. But a person who cannot, then he cannot do anything with his life. Prahlad Maharaj chastised Hiranyakashipu. He said, "Oh, best of the demons, you're so foolish. You think you have controlled the entire universe, but you're not able to control your own senses. How pitiable is your situation." So Vishwamitra, when he appeared, Maharaj Dasarath was very, very happy. He got off his throne and offered his throne to Vishwamitra, showing that a king must take guidance from great brahmanas. And he asked Vishwamitra, "What can I do for you? How may I serve you?" So Vishwamitra explained that I live in a place called Siddha Ashram, where all the sages, they are constantly performing great Vedic sacrifices for the welfare of the entire population. But of late, we are being disturbed by certain demons. They don't like to see us doing things for the welfare of others. So every time we start our sacrifice and we are offering our oblations, swaha, into the fire, these demons, they throw lumps of flesh, urine, stool, blood, all of these things into our sacrificial fire. And when we are disturbed, they laugh at us. They like to disturb everything. So can you please do something about it? So Maharaj Dasarath said, "Oh, great sage, you yourself are very powerful. You can do it on your own." So Vishwamitra said, "That is true. By my yogic power, I can finish all the demons. But now I am a Raja Rishi. I have become a Brahmana. And Brahmanas don't fight. It's the job of the Kshatriyas. So I have come to you." And he described these demons, Maricha, Subahu, and their henchmen. So Maharaj Dasarath said, "So what's the problem? We'll take our entire army and very soon take care of these demons. In fact, I will personally come." So Vishwamitra said, "I don't want you. I don't want your army. I have only one request." "Oh, please, please speak it. Don't hesitate." So Vishwamitra asked Dasarath Maharaj, "Are you sure?" "Oh yes, I'm very sure." "Are you really sure?" "Yes, I'm very sure. I give you my word. I give I stake my whole life behind this commitment. All right. Just send me your son Ram, and we'll go together to kill these demons. Dasarath Maharaj had a shock. He said, what are you talking? He's only 14 years old. He doesn't know how to fight demons. I'll personally come and fight to spare Ram. He said, you promised. And the king cannot renege his promise. I don't want anyone else. I just want your son. He said, no, no, no. And Dasarath Maharaj started crying. He had literally a heart attack. Because he could not let his son go. Because he was the object of his affection. One might wonder that this seems like worldly affection, a father feeling for his son. This is not worldly, it is transcendental. Transcendental because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he knows how to churn the hearts of his devotees. And especially Dasarath Maharaj is like, he is one of the personalities who has perfected what's called Vatsalya Prema. Affection or love for the Lord in a parental mood. So separation is very, very difficult. When Lord Krishna used to go to the pasturing grounds every morning with the cows and calves, all the gopis would cry. They would cry that, including Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, all the gopis, they would cry. They would cry that we cannot see you, Krishna, throughout the day. How can we live our lives if we can't see you? And at night, the few glimpses that we get when you return from the pasturing grounds, even in those few glimpses, this Lord Brahma, he's such a bad architect or engineer for the world that he has created eyelids that every time we blink, we miss seeing you. Why did he create eyelids? And as Krishna would walk with the cows and calves, and he would walk behind the trees, for those few moments where they could not see him behind the trees, they would feel pangs of separation from Lord Krishna. Krishna, oh, where is he like that? They cannot bear moments separation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravushayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. Okay, now I'm speaking way out of my realization. Lord Chaitanya says that even a moment separation from you feels like 12 years or more. So like that, Dasarath Maharaj, he couldn't bear the very thought that Lord Rama would leave. And his Vatsalya affection overtook his rationality. And he said, no, no, no. The forest is a very uncomfortable place. The demons will kill him. He's a young boy. Spare him, please. No, you promised. So this was not going anywhere. So sage Vasishtha, who was the chief counselor for Maharaj Dasarath, he intervened and he said, let him go. You don't realize that Vishwamitra will actually teach him special mantras and give him very special weapons by which Lord Ramachandra will become even more invincible. It's good for him. Let him go. So with great hesitation, Dasarath Maharaj allowed Vishwamitra to take Ramachandra. Another transcendental purpose behind this is, of course, Lord Rama and Lakshmana went along and they took care of the demons. Subahu was killed and Maricha was shot with an arrow that flung him 8,000 miles away. But more important was that Vishwamitra wanted to take Lord Rama to the palace of Maharaj Janaka to meet Sita Devi. Now, Sita Devi appeared to Maharaj Janak in a very wonderful way. And there are different versions of it because these pastimes happen again and again. One such version is that one fine day, Janaka Maharaj found a golden lotus right in the middle of a field. And in that golden lotus was a little baby girl, so effulgent, so beautiful, and just very, very attractive. And he didn't have any progeny, so he immediately accepted her as his daughter and named her Sita Devi. And Sita, this is important, because Sita is none other than Vedavati, who had cursed Ravana. So she appeared as Sita Devi. Of course, Sita Devi is the eternal consort of the personality of Godhead. So when Sita Devi, as she was growing up in Dasarath Maharaj's household, Dasarath Maharaj wanted to teach his daughter some household work, not just be a princess. Learn a few things, because if you get married and for some reason, you know, you need to do something, you need to learn. So he taught her, every day she had a little service to clean different places of the palace. One day, as Sita was cleaning a particular room, she entered like the museum place. And there were all these exquisite things stored in that room. One particular item there was a massive bow. And that bow apparently was so heavy that it required 500 strong men to lift it. And these 500 men are not like nowadays. You know, we just got a delivery of a new cooking range sitting outside there. It weighs 600 pounds. We had 5 brahmacharis wondering what to do. Then they called a few more people. I said, let's see, 600 pounds, at least 10 people. Still it is 60 pounds. I don't think 60 pounds. Not like that strength. These are very, very strong personalities. 500 of those. Even they would find it difficult to lift this bow. And so Sita Devi, as she was cleaning the place around the bow, she came and she saw that, oh, maybe I need to dust under the bow. So nonchalantly, with her left hand, she picked up the bow, cleaned up the place, put it back and walked away. When Dasarath Maharaj saw that, he was shocked. He said, who is this girl? How is she so strong? She didn't even notice that she lifted this big, mighty bow of Lord Shiva. She's special. So she needs a husband who should at least be able to lift the bow. Otherwise, in the household, there always will be a complexity. Can you lift the bow? If you don't lift the bow, you cannot talk. You should do what I say. Can you lift the bow? So he said she should have a proper match. Who can lift the bow and say, let's talk, you know? So he waited, who will that person be? So he had organized for what's called a Swayamvara. Swayamvara means choosing one's own husband. And he had made a condition that any man who can lift that bow and bend it and tie a knot around it is a suitable husband for my daughter. Nobody came, because this was not even worth trying. Vishwamitra took Rama and Lakshmana to Maharaj Janaka's palace. And he showed him. He said, I brought him here because this is the son of Dasharath. And I wanted him to see that special bow that's in your museum. Oh yeah, sure, please see. 14-year-old boy. And when Lord Ramachandra looked at the bow, Vishwamitra gestured to him, pick it up. Effortlessly, Lord Ramachandra picked it up, put it to the ground, bent it, and put a knot around it. Haribo! Maharaj Janak was so happy and delighted. Who is this man? And he immediately requested, can he marry my daughter, Sita? Oh yes, that is the reason we're here. And so the wedding was organized, arranged, and Lord Ramachandra married Sita Devi and brought her back to Ayodhya. So Dashrath was very, very happy. And he decided, now is the time to coronate my son, Lord Rama, as the next king. So when he announced this, he went and discussed with Vasishtha Muni and all the great brahmanas. I'm thinking like this, what do you think? They all said, yes, very good, fantastic idea. Lord Rama is perfectly qualified. He's gentle, kind, loving, compassionate. And above all, he will always work for the welfare of his citizens. You should coronate him. I think it's a very good idea. So I'm going to fast forward the story from here, because so far I wanted to speak about the advent of Lord Ramachandra. So many of us know the pastime. The Lord Ramachandra, the day before his coronation, his mother, Kaikeyi, had a little problem. And the maid servant, her name was Mantara, she put a little bug in Kaikeyi's mind that if Kausalya's son becomes the king, that would mean that you would become the maid servant and your son would become the maid, would become a slave in the kingdom. This is not good prospect for you, although you're the favorite for the king. So I think this is the time for you to ask the two boons that he had promised that he will fulfill. So she asked, oh, I would like my son to be the king, and Lord Rama should be banished into the forest for 14 years. Dashrath could not bear the impact of this heartless, cruel requests. These cruel requests. And he literally died. But as the promise was given, it was decided that Bharata would be the king and Ram would leave for the forest. Now, Bharata was not in Ayodhya at that time. He had gone to his maternal uncle's grandparents' house in the province of Kekaya. And Lord Ramachandra, he put on tree bark and hair was tied as if he would be a renunciate, and he started going into the forest with his wife Sita Devi and Lakshmana. It was very difficult because we just read that Lord Ramachandra's soles of his feet were so delicate that the soles would get hurt even by Sita Devi's palms. And Sita Devi's palms naturally is very, very delicate, soft. Yet those would be hurtful. Then what to speak of walking barefoot in the forest where there are stones, pebbles, thorns, dirt. But Lord Ramachandra accepted. A nice lesson in Lord Ramachandra's accepting this kind of austerity is that one may be very comfortable in one's life, but when an order from the superior comes, to fulfill that order, one shouldn't hesitate to take up any difficulty. In fact, whatever difficulty might come is welcome, because more important than the difficulty is the order of the superior that one carries on one's head. In fact, that is the emblem of duty. That under any circumstance, under any tribulation, any travesty that might come, yet the order of the superior, the spiritual master, the order of Shastra, Guru, Sadhu, must be fulfilled. In fact, a person is glorious for doing so. Srila Prabhupada was given a very, very difficult order. Please take the teachings of our great scriptures, the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam, to the Western world, where they don't know anything about Krishna. Please speak to them. And Prabhupada tried. For 40 years he prepared himself. At the ripe age of 70, with hardly any money, no contacts in the US, except for one family who had sponsored him, the Agrawal family. Prabhupada writes, "I didn't know to turn left or to turn right when I landed at Boston Harbor. After suffering two heart attacks, and without any guarantee of any prospect about anything, all he had was the determination, the conviction that my spiritual master has given an order, and that stands above everything else." It's like Lord Ramachandra going into the forest from a very, very comfortable life, very, very royal, majestic life, out into the forest of difficulty. And in the forest, there's always a challenge, right? Wild animals, difficult circumstances. So Prabhupada also came from one forest, if you will, Vrindavan, to a concrete jungle, New York City. Just because the order of the superior had to be fulfilled. So Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana and Sita, as they were moving through the forest, they came to a place called Chitrakuta. Very, very calm, peaceful place. And in Chitrakuta, Lakshmana built a nice little cottage for Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, and he stayed outside. And it's described that Lakshman would stand on guard all day. And when Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi would rest, he would stand on guard all night. So literally Lakshmana did not sleep for 14 years. Just served Ramachandra and Sita Devi. I mean, if Kumbhakarna can do it for 10,000, why can't Lakshmana do it? Easily, not a problem. Kumbhakarna's austerity for 10,000 years, standing on one foot, had a material motive in it. Lakshmana's austerity of being awake and serving Lord Ramachandra had nothing but spiritual pleasure in it. So Rishabhadeva says, "Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukyam tu anantam." That by performing austerities for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, what we get from that is unending spiritual happiness. By performing austerity for something material, what we will get is something that will end anyway. In fact, we will also end. Anything material will come to an end. And anything spiritual will be eternally increasing. One day they were visited. I don't think I can finish Ramayana, so I'm just going to keep talking till we can, you know, maybe reach Dandaka Forest, perhaps. So, one day, they were visited by Shurpanaka. Because Shurpanaka was told by other demons, "Hey, there's a very good looking man, human being in the forest. And he's so charming, he's so attractive, that even if you get one glimpse of him, your heart is completely attracted to this person." So she said, "Oh, I would like to marry him." So she came sniffing for human presence, looking around, where there are these human beings? So when she came to see Lord Rama, she was a little surprised. There was a woman, Sita Devi, and Lakshmana also standing. So she approached Lord Rama and she made a petition. I would beg you to please accept me as your wife. So Lord Ramachandra said, I wouldn't mind, but I've made a promise that in this life I will only have one wife. So I already have a wife. So I'm so sorry, I cannot fulfill your promise. But you know, my brother is single. No, my brother, actually he's married, but he said, my brother, he doesn't have any companion. And he hasn't made this vow to only have one wife, so you can talk to him. She said, oh, not a bad idea. So she went to Lakshmana. And Lakshmana said, you know, if I marry you, you have to be a servant. Oh, service. I'm day and night serving Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi. So I'm a servant. And if you're my wife, you will also be a servant. Do you want to be a servant? Oh, service? No, Prabhu. I mean, no. That was intentional. Said, no, I don't want to serve. I want to enjoy. Then you should go to my brother. Try to convince him. Okay. So she went back to Lord Rama and she said, your brother, I don't think the prospect's really going to work out. I'd like to marry you. He said, I already told you. I already have a wife here. Maybe if you ask my brother nicely, he might change his mind. So she went back to Lakshmana. So like this, Lakshmana and Ramachandra were having a little, you know, after all it's a forest life, right? Some little enjoyment. So they were sending Shurpanaka back and forth. Just playing with the demon. Then Shurpanaka realized, all of this problem is because of this Mataji. Called Sita. It is because Rama is married to her that he doesn't want to accept me. But if I eat her away, if I finish her, then he's single. And she jumped right at Sita. And by one gesture of Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana drew his sword and cut off her nose and ears. So she was crying in pain. And they laughed and sent her away. But you know, demons, what to do? They nurture what's called vengeful fantasies, vengeance. So she went to her brother. Her brother was Ravana. And she went to Ravana and she wanted to complain. Oh, they cut my nose and ears. But he wouldn't hear. So she told him, oh, I have met the most beautiful and enchanting woman in all of the universe. Who is that? Because for a greedy person, all you have to say is a little something that awakens his or her greed. Then they are full all attention. So he dismissed everyone else and he was hearing his sister. He said, oh, in the forest of near Chitrakuta, there is this woman, Sita, so beautiful. In fact, she's the most beautiful woman in all of the universe. But she has a husband and a brother-in-law who have cut, together they have cut my nose and ears and insulted me like this. So Ravana said, don't worry, we will tackle with that. We'll tackle that. We'll go and take revenge and we'll take Sita away. So he plotted. He called his uncle. His uncle's name was Maricha. And Maricha already had an experience with Lord Ramachandra. Right? He was shot thousands of miles away. So he called his uncle and he said, uncle, I have a plan. We will be visiting the forest near Chitrakuta very soon. I would like you to transform yourself into a golden deer with bright spotted neon lights. Not neon lights, but golden lights. And act as a distraction, a decoy. And distract and take Ram away from his house. And I will kidnap Sita. So Maricha told him, I think this is a terrible, lousy idea. So Ravana told him, am I asking you for advice? I'm not asking you for advice. I'm giving you an order. And you shall do as I say, or I will kill you. Some people are like that. Nawab Hussain Shah also went to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis and he told them, you are very, very brilliant. You are well qualified. I would like you to come work for me. Here's the offer letter. And the offer letter said, dear Rupa and Sanatan, we're very happy to extend an employment offer to you. You will have very nice salaries and all the comforts that you need for a luxurious life. And we hope that you will accept our employment. Please sign on the dotted line, PS. If you don't accept this offer, we will systematically kill all the Vaishnavas in Bengal. So there was no negotiation. So Rupa Sanatan had to accept because he was going to kill all the Vaishnavas. So even to Maricha he said, I'm going to kill you if you don't accept my order. So Maricha thought about this. Let me see. If I take the form of a golden deer and kidnap Sita, I mean, take Lord Ramachandra away, he's going to shoot an arrow and kill me. If I don't follow this fellow's advice, he's going to kill me. So I'm going to die anyway. Who wants to die in the hands of Ravana? I'd rather die in the hands of Lord Ramachandra. At least there'll be some benefit in it. So he accepted. All right, I shall do so. And Ravana, because he was blessed by Lord Brahma, that he could take any form he liked, he appeared as a sannyasi. So Maricha distracted Lord Ramachandra. Sita Devi asked, oh, I won't like that deer as a pet. Lord Ramachandra pursued and he went on and went away. And when Lord Rama realized, whoa, something's not right. This is a demon. And he shot him. He shot Maricha. And Maricha, when he was dying, the final moments, he called out, Sita! Lakshmana! Save me! In the voice of Rama. So Sita Devi said to Lakshmana, go see your brother. He's in difficulty. Please go. So Lakshmana said, my brother cannot be in any difficulty. Nobody can do anything to Lord Ramachandra. This is the demon. You must go. No, no, I will not leave you. So she, this is just to create more confusion. This is just to create more confusion, pandemonium. She said, no, 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 he is in difficulty. You must go. That your motives are not pure. You have been waiting for this opportunity. So Lord Lakshmana said, what are you talking? This was once described, someone asked later, and so she accused him. She accused Lakshmana in her desperation. Sita Devi, so at least if we find her, we'll know. So Lakshmana said, I don't know how Sita. So she accused him. She accused Lakshmana in her desperation for Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Lakshmana said, what are you talking? Ill motive. So anyway, Ravana comes as a sannyasi. Someone asked later in Ramayana, when the monkeys and bears, I haven't even got into that place yet. They asked Lakshmana, can you describe Sita? Because Rama is in so much distress that he's only crying for Sita and he won't talk to us. Can you describe the features of Sita Devi? So at least if we find her, we'll know. So Lakshmana said, I don't know. I don't know how Sita Devi looks because I never saw her face. I always had my head bowed at her lotus feet. So I can describe her feet to you. And he glorifies her feet. So such a personality, he didn't have any ill motive. So anyway, Ravana comes as a sannyasi, sweet talks Sita Devi and kidnaps her. So we're going to skip that part of Ramayana because Goloka is standing there and getting the cue to end it. Lord Ramachandra took the help of monkeys and bears to go to Lanka and bring Sita Devi back. Now here's an interesting thing that our acharyas talk about. When Hanuman came to the southern tip of India, and he knew that 800 miles away was Lanka, where Sita Devi was captured in the palace of Ravana, he decided to jump across. And he loudly chanted the names of Ram, Jai Shri Ram, and jumped. Just by the potency of Lord Ramachandra's name, just uttering that name, he was able to cross 800 miles. But when Lord Ramachandra came to that place, he wondered, how do we cross this ocean? So they decided to build a bridge. Now why would Lord Ramachandra need a bridge if by his name Hanuman can go there? It is said that this is the way the Lord thinks about various ways of creating service for his devotees. It's not that the Lord cannot do anything by himself. Well, we are offering bhoga to the Lord, dressing him, singing for him, doing arati. He doesn't need us to do any of these things. He is self-satisfied and more efficient and capable than any of us put together. Yet, he devises ways by which some service can be offered to us, because by rendering some service, we are the ones to benefit. So Lord Ramachandra has wondered, I have so many monkeys and bears, I have to give them some service to do. So he said, we'll build a bridge. And he asked them to bring stones, boulders, mountain peaks, trees, whatever they could find, and throw it into the ocean. And by his potency, he promised them, everything will float. So, Lord Ramachandra, although human being, he appeared in the human race because Ravana had not asked any benediction about being protected against human beings, protected from human beings and lower animals. So generally monkeys and bears are animals that are in the modes of passion and ignorance. A cow is in the mode of goodness. So the monkeys and bears are personalities who are steeped in ignorance and passion. But the personality of Godhead, he knows how to use and employ anyone and everyone in his service. And so he gave them a way to purify themselves. So before we end our Ramkatha, we can offer a prayer. We can offer a prayer to Lord Ramachandra, that's wonderful. But more powerful is to offer a prayer to the monkeys and bears, because we are the servants of the servants. Being born in Kali Yuga, we are influenced by passion and ignorance. But just as the monkeys and bears engaged all of their propensities in serving the personality of Godhead, if we can get a drop of that service attitude that they had for Lord Ramachandra, if we can get a drop of that interest and attraction to serve the Lord, we would be very, very much benefited in our devotional service. So thank you very much. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Sri Ramanavmi Ki, Gaur Premanande Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the curtains are going to close in the next 6 or 7 minutes. All the Mahaprasadam fruits they're going to distribute from the altar, so you may feel free to line up and take the Mahaprasadam. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.